everyone that's joined us tonight. It's good to see you. And we just give you a welcome in the name of the Lord and on behalf of the Christians who gather here. And we trust that tonight we will just hear God speaking to us again. We believe that in the nights gone past that God has spoken to hearts. We know there are those who have responded. We know of one little lad just on Tuesday night that trusted the Saviour. A young lad in his mid-teens heard the gospel on Tuesday night. He's heard it many times before. But the truth of the gospel just dawned on his soul. And even as he sat on the bench, he trusted Christ as his Saviour. You know, there's no greater miracle than the miracle of salvation, the miracle of conversion. And we give God thanks that he's working in our midst. And it's good to see all that have come tonight. And these meetings will continue in the will of God, commence again on Sunday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, every night next week in the will of God, 8 o'clock. So we'd love to see you. We'd love you just to try to encourage some of your unsaved friends and neighbours just to come along. And your family, because you know we're living in crisis days, we're living in last days, and you know there's an urgency about the preaching of the gospel. The people need to hear about Christ, because Christ is their only hope. And so we trust that as the meetings continue night by night next week, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, 8 o'clock, that God again will come in and move into salvation. Now I want to read again a verse in the book of Job, chapter 14. Job chapter 14, it's just part of a verse, half the verse of verse 14. Job 14 and 14 says, if a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? And we looked at that verse in some little measure last night, and we thought of the question, is it possible for man to rise from the dead? And we noticed that it is possible. And we looked particularly last night at the glorious truth of the out-resurrection from among the dead of the Lord Jesus. And we showed categorically from the scriptures that there was a man that died and a man that lives again. Praise God tonight that Jesus Christ is alive. But what we're going to look at tonight is not so much the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but we're going to look tonight at the resurrection of all men. And we're going to read some verses in the New Testament, first of all in the book of John, the Gospel according to John, and chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And our final reading is in the last book of our Bible, the book of Revelation, and chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 1. John says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 11 says, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And we know that God will add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Our question is simply this tonight. If a man dies, shall he live again? Is resurrection a possibility? These bodies that are laid in Mother Earth, or these bodies that are placed in the funeral pyre, is it possible for these bodies to be given life, to be resurrected to life again? Remember, a way back at near the beginning of the meetings, we looked at the subject of what is man. And we noticed that man is a tripartite being. We're made up of three parts. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And we've noted in the meeting that there comes a point when man dies. Job asked that question. He says, man dies, man wastes away, man gives up the ghost, and where is he? And we spoke about death one night. And what happens at the point of death? Well, at the point of death, our spirit goes back to God who gave it. Our body is laid in the tomb, our body goes to corruption, and our soul lives on for the believer in heaven, for the unbeliever in hell. But what about that body that is laid in Mother Earth? What about this earthly tabernacle that goes back to the dust from which it came? Is it possible for that body to be raised again? Is it possible for life to be given to that body? And we noted last night the principle of resurrection as exhibited in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, that he died. And his body was laid in the grave, and his body was raised again, and that Jesus is alive. So if it was possible for God to raise one man from the grave, then it must be possible for God to raise all men from the grave. Will God do that? Well, it's interesting that we read tonight in our reading, and we hinted last night, that the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the first fruits from amongst the dead. Paul, as he writes to the Colossians, he said he's the firstborn from the dead. What are the first fruits? Well, I don't suppose it's an expression that we would use very much nowadays, but it's an expression that was used in Bible times by the farmers.
And just before they gathered in the complete harvest from their fields, they would gather in the first fruits, just a little handful, as a token, as a guarantee of all that was yet to come. So the first fruits were the token. The first fruits were the proof that there was a mighty harvest to follow. So the Lord Jesus is the first fruits from among the dead. He's the pledge. He's the token of a mighty harvest that is to follow. And just as Christ has been raised from the dead, the Bible tells us that there's coming a day when all men will be raised from the dead. That's what we read in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 28. That there's coming a day when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And so it's true when we stand beside an open grave and we lower a loved one into Mother Earth, it's true that there's coming a day when that loved one, with every other soul that has died, will be raised from the dead. There's coming a moment of resurrection for all. There'll be a moment of resurrection for those who have believed in the Lord Jesus. There'll be a moment of resurrection for those that have never believed in him. There'll be a day of resurrection for those who are saved. And there'll also be a day of resurrection for those that are lost. There'll be a resurrection for those who have lived for Christ. And there'll also be a day of resurrection for those that have simply lived for themselves. There'll be a day of resurrection for those who have died in Christ. But there'll also be a time of resurrection for those who have died in their sins. Let us be clear about this tonight. That not only has God raised Christ from the dead triumphantly, but there's coming a day when God will raise all men from the grave. You see, when will this moment take place? When will this general resurrection of all men happen? Oh, my friend, I want to say at this point in the meeting that although there will be a resurrection of all men, there will be no general resurrection of all men. Oh, that maybe cuts across what you've heard at the gravesite. That maybe is contrary to what you have heard as the minister has stood in the pulpit and given his funeral address. My friend, all men will be raised. But all men will not be raised at the same time. And all men will not be raised for the same purpose. And all men will not be raised for the same destination. My friend, my Bible teaches me clearly that there's a first resurrection, and if there's a first, there's a second. And my Bible would teach me clearly the point of time when the first resurrection takes place, and who will participate in it, and why they'll participate in it. My Bible tells me about another resurrection, and it tells me when it will take place, and who will participate, and it tells me where these individuals are destined for. So we want to look very simply tonight at the first resurrection and the second resurrection. We want to think first of all of when the first resurrection will take place, because that's what we read in Revelation chapter 20. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. So we're going to look at this first resurrection. What does John mean about the first resurrection? When does it take place? Well, that's an interesting question, because I suppose the first resurrection really takes place in stages. The first resurrection really takes place in three stages. The first resurrection, the first fruits of that resurrection were seen in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he took part in that first resurrection. A resurrection to life and to glory and to blessedness for eternity. So there's one part of the first resurrection has already taken place, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus out from amongst the dead. And there's two stages of the first resurrection that have yet to take place. As I read my Bible, as I read the course of the prophetic unfoldings of God, I discover there are two great events that are going to take place in this world. Two great events that center in the person of the Lord Jesus. First of all, there's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the air. And secondly, there's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air, he's coming to call out of the world all those that belong to him. He's coming to snatch them away from the world and to call them to himself that they might be with him forever. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes the second time, when he comes to the earth, he's going to come to redeem Israel. That little nation down there in the Middle East, that over the centuries of time has been battered and bruised by enemies on every side, they're still God's people. They're still the apple of God's eye. The Lord Jesus Christ is still the Messiah of Israel. And there's coming a day when he'll come to the very place that he left. He'll come to the very Mount of Olives that he left 2,000 years ago. He'll come in a blaze of glory and majesty and power. And every eye shall see him. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he'll set up a kingdom in Jerusalem. And he'll reign through the nation of Israel from the river to the ends of the earth. What glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. He's going to appear in the air, and he's going to appear upon earth. He's going to appear, first of all, to take his people, to take his church home to heaven. And secondly, he'll come to the earth to establish his kingdom among his earthly people, Israel. And I discover that these two great events in relation to the Lord Jesus, there is a resurrection takes place. When the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the air, there's going to be a resurrection. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth, there'll be another resurrection. The resurrection of all those who have been martyred during the intervening period. Because between the period of time between the Lord Jesus coming for his people, for his church, and taking them to heaven, and coming to reign upon the earth, there'll be a period of tribulation in the world. Great tribulation. 7 years of awful outpouring of God's wrath against men. During that period of time, there'll be the rise of the Antichrist. The man who's marked by the number 666. And every man will be commanded to bow to his authority, to receive his mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. During that period of time, there'll be those that will take a stand for Christ. There'll be those that will name the name of the Lord, and they will suffer persecution, and they'll be martyred for the cause of Jesus. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom, there'll be a resurrection. And those martyred saints, those who have died during that period of tribulation, who were faithful to the Lord Jesus, will be raised. And these three stages of resurrection form this great first resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection of believers at the moment when Christ comes back for his church. And finally, those saints that have died during the tribulation, when Christ comes, they'll be raised. And that whole group of people will take part in the first resurrection. The resurrection of the just. The resurrection of the believers. The resurrection of those who have a personal faith and a personal link with the Lord Jesus. It's them and only them that will take part in the first resurrection. My friend, one of the wonderful things is simply this, that the second stage of the first resurrection could take place at any time. And there's some of us that are very recently have visited the graveyard. There's some of us very recently have laid loved ones in the earth. And we have done so in the sure and certain hope that one day soon they're going to be raised from the dead. They're going to be raised at that moment when the Lord Jesus returns for his own. The dead in Christ, says Paul, are going to rise. Are going to rise. Going to rise. You see, the prospect for the believer in the Lord Jesus is the coming again of the Lord Jesus for his own, for his church, for his bride. That's what bubbles up within my heart. That's what I long for. That moment when the Lord will come. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ. Every individual that has died as a believer in the Lord Jesus, everyone that was saved, they're going to rise. They're going to rise. What a comfort to our hearts tonight. Those of us that have got loved ones that we knew were believers in the Lord Jesus and they've died. When Christ comes, they're going to rise. And Paul says, we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friend, praise God, that second stage of the first resurrection could take place tonight. There's no prophecy needs to be fulfilled. There's no sign needs to appear in the sky. Just at any moment, the Lord Jesus Christ could appear to take all his people home to heaven. My friend, if the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, I wonder would you be among those that would rise, be joined together with those believers that have died, joined together with them, to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. My friend, that's my hope tonight. That's my prospect. I wonder, is it yours tonight? If the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, I tell you, the graves when you come that would be open. And the graves in Auchinleck would be open, and graves in Kirkconnell would be open, and graves all over the world would be open, and everyone that is a testimony to the grace of God in their life would be raised. And together with every believer, snatched away in a moment to meet the Lord in the air. Is that your prospect, tonight? Is that your hope? Is that what's before your vision? Will you be part of that great crowd that is snatched away to meet the Lord in the air? My friend, if you were to die, would you take part in the first resurrection? It's a resurrection to life. It's a resurrection to heaven. It's a resurrection to eternal bliss and eternal blessing and eternal glory. It's a resurrection to be with Christ forever. Not just to be with him, and not just to see him, but even to be like him. Even to be like him. Paul writes to the Christians at Philippi, and he says he's going to change these vile bodies. These bodies of humiliation, and he's going to fashion them like unto his body of glory. Heaven's going to be filled with a whole population of men and women that are just like Christ. Wonder will you be there? Wonder will you be there? My friend, I'll be there. Not because I deserve to be there, but because as a young lad, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I received Christ into my heart, acknowledging that when he died on the cross, he was dying for me. My friend, those that take part in the first resurrection are those who are believers in the Lord Jesus, those that have trusted him as Saviour. My friend, when the first resurrection takes place, will you be there? Will you be there? But then there's another resurrection. The Bible doesn't actually call it the second resurrection. But the Bible tells us that those who are raised at this other resurrection are actually raised for a second death. And we're going to look at when that takes place. And we're going to look at who participates in it. And we're going to look at what it actually means. A first resurrection for the believers. And then there's a second death for the unbelievers. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes and sets up his kingdom on earth, he's going to reign for 1,000 years. It's going to be a reign of righteousness and peace. The old adversary, Satan himself, the old devil, will be bound in a bottomless pit. He'll be made powerless.
And after 1,000 years, God will let him out just for a little season. He'll rampage through the world. He'll show that he's never changed. God will show that the heart of man has never changed. And then God will come in a final judgment. And then at some point just after that, there's a resurrection. The bodies of all those that missed out in the first resurrection, they're going to be raised. They're going to be gathered out of the graves. And every nation under the sun, they're going to be raised in a moment. It's not going to be a resurrection unto life. It's going to be a resurrection unto damnation. It's going to be a resurrection unto judgment. And everyone that participates in that resurrection has lived their life without Christ. They've lived to please themselves. They've lived in their sins. And they've died without a personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. They've never trusted him for salvation. And they've died as they lived. They've died in their sins. And they've corrupted in the grave. But suddenly they're now raised. Or their soul has spent maybe years in hell. And the body spent all that time in the grave, but suddenly that soul and body are reunited. In bodily form, they stand before a great white throne. I think the most awesome scene that we read about in the Bible is the last few verses that we read in Revelation 20. John says, "I saw the dead. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." They've been resurrected, they've been taken out of the grave, and they're now standing in bodily form before a great white throne and the one that sits in it. John says it's a great white throne. It's a judgment throne. It's a throne before which all other thrones, all other judgment thrones would pale into insignificance. Great, it's white. It's marked by purity, it's marked by holiness, it's marked by righteousness. And the one who sits in that is so awesome that the very heaven and the earth, they flee away because there's no space found for them. Those that have died in their sins, those that have died unsaved, they're standing in space before that great white throne. The dead. Small and the great. The great, the great. Men that were great down here in their life. Men that thought themselves great. Men that others thought were great. The monarchs of our day, the rulers, the princes, the captains of industry, the pop stars, the football stars. There they are. They're all the great. And they're standing there before this throne. And the small, the ordinary people. Just the common 5/8 like you and I. Everyone that has died without Christ is standing before the great white throne. Oh, John not only saw a throne and saw a judge, but he saw evidence. He saw the evidence being brought before the accused on that judgment day. He says, books were opened. Books were opened. And every man that stood there was judged according to the things that were written in the book. So my friend, it's solemn, isn't it, to think that God has got a book of your life. He's got a record. He's got a record of everything you've done and said and everywhere you've gone and everything you've done. It's all there. There's records in heaven. And there's coming a day when God will confront men with their life. This is your life. Ah, praise God, the record of your life can be washed clean tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The slate can be wiped clean tonight if you're prepared to acknowledge your sin, to repent of it, and turn to the Saviour. But my friend, if you die with a slate unwiped, if you still die in your sins, then there's coming a day when you'll be raised from the dead and God will confront you with the whole record of your life and he'll judge you according to the things that are written in the books. I noticed at that great white throne, I noticed this, no defence lawyer, there was no advocate to plead the case of the accused. Every mouth was silent. There was nobody there to say, because the evidence was irrefutable. Who can argue against God? Who can argue against God? The all-seeing God, the all-knowing God. God has got a record of every man's life, and men, the dead, small and great, will be raised, and they'll stand before Him, and they'll be judged according to the things in the book. And John sees not only a judge and a throne, and he not only sees the accused and the evidence, but he hears the sentence pass. What's the sentence? The sentence just to be cast out of his presence and cast into the lake of fire. John says, this is the second death. This is the second death. This is eternal death. This is eternal separation from God. This is the committal of men into the everlasting burning under God's judgment forever, with no return. There's a first resurrection. There's a second death. Every man will be raised from the dead. You have no choice in that. God will raise you. Whether your body is cremated, whether it is interned, whether it is buried at sea, regardless of what happens to your body, God will raise it. The God that formed man from the dust of the ground, my friend, that same Almighty God will raise every body from the earth. You have no choice in that. But my friend, you have a choice tonight as to what resurrection you're raised at. There's a resurrection of the just. A resurrection of the justified ones. A resurrection of those who have been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And there's a resurrection of the unjust. The unbeliever, the unrighteous, the sinners. And my friend, you have a choice tonight. Not as to whether you'll be raised, but you have a choice as to what point you'll be raised and for what purpose you'll be raised. Because those that trust the Lord Jesus Christ will be raised at the first resurrection, and they'll be raised for eternal life and eternal glory. But those who refuse to accept Christ as their Saviour, who die in their sins, yes, they'll be raised. They'll be raised to appear before that great white throne, to be judged according to what's written, and to be cast out of God's presence, and to experience the awfulness of the second death, eternal separation from God forever. The choice is yours tonight. If a man die, will he live again? The answer is simple. Yes. Every man will live again. Every body that is sown in the grave will be raised by the power of God. Believers raised to life and glory. Unbelievers raised to eternal judgment, eternal wrath, eternal sorrow. You have no choice in relation to the matter of your body being raised from the dead, but you have a choice as to what part of the resurrection you take part in. Choose wisely tonight. Choose Christ. Our gracious God and Father, we just bow again to give thanks for the gospel. We realise, O God, that thy word would encourage us to warn men to flee from the wrath to come, because there is wrath. Beware, says the Bible, lest he take us away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver us. Once we pass out of time into eternity, there's no returning. There's no way back. There's no way of making amends. There's no way of getting right with thee. And so, O God, we are encouraged to warn men about the wrath and the judgment. But we thank you, O God, that the gospel is good news, that we not only tell men and women about the wrath of God against sin, but we tell men and women about the glorious provision that has been made for the forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And, O God, we trust that the meeting might have been balanced tonight, and we pray that men and women might heed the warning
And we pray, our God, that they would avail themselves of the provision tonight, that they would put their trust in the Lord Jesus and have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and be sure, our God, that they'll take part in the first resurrection, and be sure that they'll never experience the awfulness of the second death. So, our God, we pray for a parting blessing as we give thanks again for thy goodness to us and giving us an opportunity to be here to hear thy word. We thank thee in Jesus' name.